Now, I want to focus in on the passage that Brother Jim read in Mark chapter 5. And this is actually the second part of a message that I preached last Sunday, entitled, What is My Faith? What is my faith? So this is part two. This will conclude that. But if you were here last week, you may recall I dealt with in Luke chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but it was with a woman, an infamous sinner, as the Lord had been invited into a Pharisee's house to have a meal, and this woman, who was an infamous sinner, entered in, as Luke records in Luke 7, and she fell at his feet and had an alabaster box of an expensive ointment that she anointed him, and she washed his feet, the scripture says, with her tears, with the hair of her head. And what she was doing was expressing her faith in and her love for the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And the Lord made the statement in Luke 7 and verse 50. He said, thy faith hath saved thee. And my point in that message and in today's message is, well, what does that mean when you hear that or when you read something like that? Thy faith has saved thee. What does it mean to most of the population who claims to be Christian? Well, I'm basically going to pick up there, and if this message will stand on its own, but I want to do it from Mark chapter 5 here, where it starts out, the Lord, he's walking through the land here, and he cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue named Jairus, however you pronounce it. And he had a daughter who was sick to the point of death, and so he wanted Christ to heal her. But then, in the meantime, a certain woman, look at verse 25 of Mark 5, a certain woman. I always love when the scripture says a certain woman or a certain man. Because this is particular. This is no general offering or anything like that. But she had an issue of blood for 12 years. She had a hemorrhage. I don't know exactly the disease she had, but it was a hemorrhage. And she had it for 12 years. And you could just imagine, she'd suffered. And it says in verse 26, listen to this. And had suffered many things of many physicians. You ever gone through anything like that? You go to the doctor and they make you worse instead of better. And I'm not down on doctors, believe me. I go to them. I'm going to one this week about my back. And hopefully they can help me. But I don't want to suffer. But she suffered many things of many physicians. But here, you know what this is in this verse 26? It's a picture of false religion. It says she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. We know something about that, don't we? And was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Now, this is not a commentary on the medical field. This is a picture of sinners seeking salvation, a cure for sin. From the many so-called physicians among the false religionists and false preachers, and given their money and given their time and given their efforts, and no better off, they grow worse. They grow worse. How many people today are going to a religious gathering, but they're not hearing the gospel of God's grace in Christ? They're just like this woman here. They got a bad disease. Been longer than 12 years for most of us. It's called sin. And false preachers tell us how to deal with it. And we spend our money, give our money and our time and our efforts, but no better off. But worse off. Worse off. You see, without Christ, what do you want to hear about this morning? You say, well, preacher, why don't you give me a 10-step program on how to have a better marriage? Well, I'll tell you right now how I feel about that. And I'll deal with any subject when we come to it in the scripture. You know right now how to have a better marriage. And if you've got a bad one, you just don't want to do what it takes to have a better one. Now, there's nothing wrong with dealing with subjects like that in light of the gospel. Don't get me wrong. But what do you want to hear about this morning? I want to hear about Christ. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear the gospel. That's what we're commanded to preach. And we go through the scriptures and we deal with different subjects, but in light of the gospel. It says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, what is she expressing there? Her faith in Christ. This is not magic. This is not a setup for the movie The Robe. If you can just get his robe, he'll heal you, you know. That's not what it's about. This is about Christ. And it's symbolized in his garment. Verse 29 says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. She was healed. And she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now look at verse 30. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that's power, had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, I want you to think about something. He knew exactly who touched his clothes. How do you know that? Because the Bible says he's omniscient. And look what happens. His disciples said to him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. Why? And sayest thou who touched? Look at all these people they're saying. You can't tell that. Well, verse 32, he looked around about to see her and that had done this. He knew who had done it. He looked about that multitude. He knew exactly who had done it. He was just making a point to him. You've heard of rhetorical questions? Who touched me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew why. He told them all along in his earthly walk why he was going to the cross. He knew that. But we don't know it until he reveals it to us. And it says in verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, back in Luke 7, there's no doubt in my mind that he's talking about eternal salvation there. When he told that poor, infamous sinner, thy faith has saved thee. What was her faith? Here he's talking about physical healing. Did that work down into spiritual healing? I don't know. I sort of think so, but that's just my opinion. But he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, you know, when the Lord healed people physically, that did not always translate down into spiritual healing. Not always. He fed 5,000 people. Not all of them were spiritually fed, but they were physically fed. So don't always, these miracles of healing especially are types and pictures of a spiritual healing that God gives his people through Christ, who is the great physician. Remember, he said the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick need a physician. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here's this dear woman who'd been sick for 12 years. Just touch his garment. What is his garment? What's his garment for us? What's his righteousness? That's what I need. What do I need to cure me of the deadly disease of sin? I need a glorious person who is able to work out a perfect righteousness so that I can stand before God, the righteous judge, and be whole. Well, who is that? That's Christ. And his righteousness came out of his obedience unto death. And so we wear his cloak, so to speak, symbolically, meaning his righteousness is imputed to us. But he looked at this woman, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now here's the problem. And here's the question. What does that mean? What was her faith? And what is my faith? Do you believe? We have faith? Well, here's what I know about faith. First of all, faith is not simply our believing. Because we can believe a lot of things that are wrong. For example, and this is what I dealt with last week, and I want to give you this. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 13 and verse 23, Jeremiah the prophet asked the people of Jerusalem and Judah, and he's asking a rhetorical question here, and he's going to give you the answer. And he says, can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Well, the answer is no. Then, well, okay, if that's the case, that's the way they're born. That's the way we're born. We can't change the way we're born. That's what he's saying. Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Now that word accustomed means instructed. It means taught. And here's what Jeremiah's point is. He said, you can't change how you're born by nature. And how are we born by nature? What does the Bible say about that? It says we're born dead in trespasses and sins. Now what the Bible says? Now if it doesn't say that, you tell me after the service. You know it says that. It says we are born spiritually dead with no spiritual ability and no spiritual desire to believe and receive and love the Lord God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. Now that's what the Bible says. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, hath he quickened. In other words, and that's why Christ said, you must be born again. Now that's what you've got to be born again. Or you don't have spiritual eyes to see the kingdom of God. And you don't have spiritual ears to hear the glory of it. You may hear the words of it. Multitudes heard the Lord speak and walked away empty. Many of them walked away angrily. And they did not crucify him. We did not crucify him, let's put it that way, for what he did. They didn't look at this woman and say, look there, he healed a woman. Let's go kill him. No. That's not why we wanted to crucify him. We wanted to crucify him for what he said. He told his disciples that. He said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they'd be okay. But he stood before him and he said this. He said, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Now that brings out killing from the Pharisees. He told him, he said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God's sovereign. Oh, we don't like that. Kill him. You understand this? So not only are we born naturally spiritually dead, then we're taught evil. What is that evil we're taught? Let me give you these three things. I ended it last week with this, but we need to understand this. And the problem is this now. Having that natural spiritual deadness and not being able to understand until God reveals it to us, and then having been taught wrong, they pick up the Bible and that's how they read it. I know because I was there. And so when I would look at scriptures like, thy faith hath saved thee, or thy faith hath made thee whole, then I automatically interpret that, well, that means it's up to me. That's not what it means at all. Now that may be your faith, but if that's your faith, it's wrong. What is faith? Well, let me give you these three things that people are taught wrong. Number one is universalism. People from our youth up, we sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And now listen to me. I'm not talking about what we should teach our children, the gospel. That's what we should teach them. Not a lie. But people are taught that God loves everybody, trying to save everybody. Christ died for everybody. But the Bible doesn't say that. If that's your faith, it's a lie. And then secondly, we're taught that we're all sinners, we're all imperfect, but not so much that we don't retain a spark of goodness, enough to where we can choose good over evil. We still retain that ability. Well, if that's your faith, that's a lie. The Bible doesn't say that. I've just quoted all kinds of scripture on that. And then thirdly, therefore, having that ability, we're taught that salvation is conditioned on us making the right choice, choosing to decide for Christ. That's what we're taught. That salvation is conditioned on our believing, our repenting, and or our persevering, our obedience. We're taught that if we'll just do the right thing, God will bless us. Now, if that's your faith, that's a lie. I was talking to a dear brother of mine this past week on the phone, Brother Bobby Wright, and he made this statement. He said, you know what the greatest idol of modern religion is? And I said, what? And he said, faith. And I said, well, what do you mean? Well, we know what he meant. People don't have faith in Christ. They have faith in their faith. Now, what I'm saying, you think about what people are taught. Are these teachings, what we need to ask, are these teachings biblical? Are they based on the Word of God? Because you want to know what faith is? Faith is believing what God said. What did God say? You say, well, I don't like what God said. Well, then you don't have faith. What is faith? Faith is not our believing. Faith is that body of truth that God has revealed to his people. Faith is the promise that God has made concerning salvation by his grace through Christ. That's what faith is. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. What was counted unto him? What God promised him. And what did God promise him? To send Christ into the world to work out a perfect righteousness whereby Abraham could be justified. And he says it in Romans 4:6, the blessedness of the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works. That's the righteousness of faith. Faith is the God-given means of knowledge. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yes, we must believe, but that's the gift of God. It's the God-given means of knowledge. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, the Greek also, for therein is something revealed, the righteousness of God, the merits of Christ as our surety, our substitute, our representative, our redeemer. And it's from faith, knowledge revealed, doctrine revealed, truth revealed, to faith, doctrine, truth, knowledge received. As it is written, the just, the justified, those whose sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ, those who are declared righteous before God in the righteousness of Christ freely imputed, they live by faith. And what is that faith? It's not just believing. It's believing in Christ. It's looking to Christ. What is faith? Faith is believing God's word. It's based on and connected with the gospel truth. Biblical faith is never separated from its object, which is the knowledge of God revealed in Christ, the glory of his person, the power of his finished work. Some believe truth, some believe lie. What is my faith? You might as well say this, what is my doctrine? Let me show you that. Look at Romans chapter 6. What is my doctrine? People say, well, it doesn't matter what your doctrine is as long as you believe. Well, what if you believe a lie? I told you last week, Two men had faith. Abel had faith. Cain had faith. Abel's faith was saving faith, if you will. How do you know? He brought the blood of the lamb, which pictured Christ. Cain's faith was a lie. He believed a lie. He was sincere. The Pharisees believed a lie. They were sincere. Paul said they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about to establish a righteousness of their own because their faith urged them to work out a righteousness by their works. Well, that faith is a lie. You want righteousness? Well, here it is, Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's my faith. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, but it's to everyone that believeth. That's what we believe. But look here in Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. That's an unregenerate unbeliever. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Now there's the faith. That stamp of doctrine. That identifying mark of teaching which was delivered to you, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. That's faith. Faith is the God-given means by which believers come to God and put their trust in Him for salvation. Look at Galatians. Turn over to Galatians chapter 3. And look at verse 22. Look at this passage. Galatians 3:22. Talking about the Scripture. Now, what is the Scripture here? It's the Word of God. So that's how we have to begin this thing now. It's the Word of God. What does God say? The Scripture hath concluded all under sin. We're all sinners. What does that mean? That means we're all in need of a righteousness we cannot produce. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now the promise by faith, what is that promise? It's the promise of salvation by God's grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ. And it's given. How do you know that that promise is to you or to me? Well, it's given to them that believe. Now, that believing doesn't come from our goodness or our simply choosing the right thing. It's the gift of God. But look on. He says, verse 23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Does that mean while they were under the law, there was no believing? No. The faith here he's talking about is Christ. Before Christ came, the promise fulfilled. That's what their faith was. That's what faith is. Before Christ came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. The faith which should afterwards be revealed, that's Christ fulfilling the law, crying out from the cross, it's finished. That's my faith. That's your faith if you're a believer. If God's brought you through the new birth to receive Christ and believe in Him, your faith is not in the fact that you believed it. Now, the fact that you believed it is a miracle of God's grace because you wouldn't have believed it elsewhere otherwise. But your faith is in Christ. And he says in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, what is it to be justified by faith? Does that mean that my believing makes me right with God? No. Christ made me right with God. And I believe in Him. Now, somebody said, well, you're just mincing words. Okay, let's mince a lot of words. Verse 25, but after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. For you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not just by believing, but by believing in Christ Jesus. Don't separate believing from its object. That's the key. And he says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put Him on. You put on Christ. You believe. You rest in Him. There's neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to what? The promise. That's our faith. Those who believe are miracles of grace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in." Our believing is the work of God within us by the power of the Spirit through Christ to bring us to trust Christ. That believing is the fruit and the result of what Christ accomplished on our behalf. It's not the means by which we empower what he did. It's the means by which he gives us to unite us to him spiritually. It's the gift of God. My believing is not my righteousness before God, because God has brought me to believe that Christ is my righteousness, as I quoted. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's my faith. It's to them who believe. Faith is not natural to us. It is not the exercise of our so-called free will. The entire Christian life is lived out by God-given faith. The mainspring and driving force of true Christianity, the motive and inspiration for all devotion and service to Christ, that which compels and constrains believers to live in this world to the glory of God, to look to Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith doesn't finish his work. His finished work brings us to faith. You see it? The fruit and the result. Look at Hebrews 11. And I could show you multitudes of scripture on this issue. But you know, this passage here is one that is always taken out of context. This is the hall of faith, as they say. It speaks of the faith of Old Testament saints, many who died for their faith. What is my faith? Look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now here's what that means literally. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now is my believing the assurance of what I hope for? Now let me tell you something. If your believing is the assurance of what you're hoping for, then your believing better be perfect. Without any doubt. At any time, whether you're at your best or your worst. Now we all have times in our lives where we get like old Job or King David. Get down in the dumps. Things aren't going our way. Troubles. Job said it, man is a few days and full of trouble, and we lapse into the sin that so easily besets us. And that's doubt. It's of the flesh. We have a battle. You say, I believe. Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Old King David, think about it. There were times in his life, he basically in the Psalms looked up and he said, Lord, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? That's doubt. That's unbelief. David's faith was not perfect. His believing was not perfect. Neither is mine. Neither is yours. But I'm going to tell you something. The one in whom I believe, he is perfect. So my believing is not the assurance of what I hope for. Christ is the assurance. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. So it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And then listen to this, that where it says the evidence of things not seen. Here's what it means. The conviction or proof of things not seen. That's what it means. The conviction or the proof of things not seen. Now let me ask you, is your believing something the proof of its reality? I always tell you about the marquee sign that I saw outside of a church one time. And it says, "The Lord said it, I believe it, that settles it." That's wrong. You know how it should receive or be read? "The Lord said it, that settles it, I better believe it." My believing something does not prove its exactness or its reality. You understand that, don't you? This isn't Wizard of Oz theology. Click your heels together and say there's no place like home over and over. This is not wishful thinking. What is hope in the Bible? It's the certain assurance of the outcome based upon what? What God said. My believing doesn't prove it. God's word proves it, and that's my faith. Do you understand that? And those people who think, well, this thing of salvation. Now, Christ made it possible, but we make it sure when we believe. That's what most people believe. That's a lie. That's not faith in the Bible. It's faith in an idol. It's faith in yourself. It's what my brother Bobby Wright said. It's faith in your faith. And that's what most people believe. That's what I believed for years. And why did I believe that? Well, because I was dead spiritually and I was taught wrong. This old woman in Mark chapter 5, he said, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." What was her faith? That Christ is the healer. That's her faith. That Christ is the great physician who can and does heal the sick. That if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. You say, well, her theology may not have been exactly correct. She's talking about physical healing. That's what she was after. Now, as I said, that may not have translated in spiritual. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And I prefer to keep my mouth shut when the Bible shuts up. I'm just going to talk about what God's word says. But her faith was not in her believing. It was in Christ. That's what faith is. That's what my faith is. It's not God said it, I believe it, that settles it. It's God said it, that settles it. And thank God he's brought me to believe it. That faith is the fruit and the result and the effect of what Christ, who he is. That's what my faith is. Who, not what I did, not what I decided, but who Christ is. And what God decided before the foundation of the world. Isn't that right? My faith is not in what I did or what I chose. It's in what he has done. And that's not just splitting hairs. That's faith in Christ. That's faith which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's faith that looks to Christ and rests in him and pleads his righteousness. That's my faith. And that's what faith is. All right. Well, let's turn in our hymns. We'll close out with "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," 204. 204.